The next two talks this morning are in honor of the Feynman Prize winners. The first one will be by Christian Joachim from CNRS in Toulouse. He also is a previous winner of the experimental one. So now he's got both. Maybe we won't see him again, I guess. what he's going to tell us about today, I have a title here somewhere, I think. Well, he's going to tell us about what he won the Feynman Prize in theory for. It's calculating a tunneling current through a molecule and unimolecular machines. When it gets to the zero, make sure
I see it so I can stand up. Okay. I have a privilege to have to select for you a few topics about theory. And so I will tell you a bit about calculation technique to compute a tunneling current. And after I will show you how this can be deviated or generalized to a unimolecular machine. So in the early days, 20 years ago, the problem we got was relating to two experimental results. First one was the molecular switch, which was not really a switch, but anyway, at that time we think it was a switch with Averam and Pomerantz. And in this case, the problem was to understand how a tunneling current can pass through a junction, which is an STM tip, a molecule and school surface. And the second problem we got on the table was the first image of large molecule by Jim Zimzeski in IBM Zurich. This was a copper phthalocyanine, and we have to understand why we can image and get such an image through a molecule. So this was the first starting point, and this was, in a way, a theoretical question to ask how we can compute a tuning current to a molecule. And so this is, again, a tuning junction, a tip, a molecule, and a surface. And you can decompose it like that. So now we enter a bit in the theoretical part. To show you how we solve the problem. There's the tip here, the molecule, the surface, the periodic part of the bulk here, the periodic part of the tip here. So in a way, you can pile up all of this inside this part here. You can pile up with all the molecular orbital you want, all the surface and the tip also here. And you have to decompose all the periodic part to plus infinite here and all the periodic part down here in unit cell to reconstruct the bound structure of the system. If you do that, in fact, you look carefully, what you transform is you transform a real experimental system in something which is well-known in solid-state physics, which is a system which is periodic here, or semi-periodic here, with a defect here. And if, in fact, nicely all this problem of tuning current between a tip or a metal, a molecule and a molecule, can be mapped to this simple system here. It appears to be simple if only you consider like a tie-binding model, but it's more and more complicated if you want more and more to describe molecular orbital by molecular orbital what's happened inside the system here. So the technique we invent in that time was really the following one, which is if you want to do a tuning current calculation, you can do first a standard scattering calculation to a periodic part. This is a normal bound structure, but you have to add up a defect here, which will also be described by a lot of molecular orbital. So the first things to do is to learn how to re-implant inside the computer the bound structure calculation by starting by a unit cell here. So this unit cell here, you can describe whatever you want depending on the largest type of the system, extended UKL, MNDO, DFT, or whatever. And you can use metal or semiconductor unit cell. And at the same time, you need also to implant here the other part, which is the junction where the tip, the molecule, and the surface is. And again, you can choose, depending on the size of the computer, you can choose a different type of techniques. I put here 28 case, 1 case, 5 case, and no case here. This is all the system, all the problem we solve under the requirement of experimental results. Image calculation, I use the extraction of molecular conformation. We use mainly extended UKL because the system is very huge, and the computation time is so gigantic that only a few cases were done with DFT. So one example. And by the way, the trick we use, which was really the trick we discovered at that time, is according to the Landauer formula, you do not need to describe completely what's happened molecular orbital by molecular orbital, because in a way, the tuning current you're going to measure is macroscopic, so it's very far away. So you can summarize all of that, that we call effective maintenance techniques. In fact, you make this defect disappearing, but you keep the souvenir for the ampmeter of this system, which is called the effective maintenance technique. And like that, it's more easy to solve this problem without propagating the matrix step by step in the unit cell. So this was the beginning of this how to learn a computer Turing current. And I insist on the fact that depending on the computer side, you can use any of this technique to do the computation if you want. One example of application of this technique is, imagine that you have this molecule with legs. We'll see in a minute why we designed this molecule. You have two ways of representing the molecule, the normal standard way and the ball way. And we put this molecule on a surface. This is the STM image of the molecule. The question we ask now is it really this conformation of the molecule which is adapted on the surface by the molecule? This is a copper 100 surface. In fact, no. So what we have to do, formally like the X-ray type extraction of structure, what we do, we compute the image, for example, of this one. And of course, the image of this one may be completely different from the image of this one. And what we do is, okay, we ask ourselves, is this conformation to help you to compute the molecular image by the STM is given by that? Obviously not. And what we do step by step is we compute the image scan by scan, and we deform the molecule little by little to converge to an effective conformation of the molecule of the surface. For this one here, we found this conformation, which we think is an effective conformation of the molecule on the surface compared to what the chemists were designing or synthesizing. This we call the conformation refinement. This takes a lot of time because you need molecular mechanics and the full computation of the current. And this may take 1 to 2 months to extract completely, on the large computer, to extract completely the conformation of this molecule. So this was the first step. And any experiment in UHV with a single molecule on the surface can pass through this filter, and you can get any conformation for any given molecule. And this is very useful if you have designed a molecule for a certain function. And this I will show you. So this was the first starting point of solving this problem. And now if you have, by the way, this is not only restricted to a pure metal surface. Here's a very recent case we have to solve with Gerhard Meyer in IBM Zurich, is that you have a metal surface here, a little bit of two layers of insulator, and a pentacene molecule here. The trick here was to try to decouple the molecule from the surface to start to build up atomic scale connection between the atomic cluster here and the molecule. And the first thing to do, if we have to understand the STM image in this case, those are the experimental image. It's the first time, I think, experimentally, a molecular orbital was exactly imaged with an STM. This is the LUMO orbital, and this is the OMO molecular orbital, and these are the calculation for the OMO molecular orbital here. I like this one because it's really the first time an STM image can extract molecular orbital by molecular orbital the shape and so the conformation of the molecule on the surface. And here, in terms of experimental current, this is this image, I think, was recorded at 70 femtoamp at low temperature. So this is what we can do with all this technical ESQC calculating technique to compute an image. But this is not the final point on that. This opened a lot of different ways of doing things. We've done a lot of molecular mechanics, design of nuclear machine. We've done a lot of hybrid molecular electronics, I will comment a bit. And we've generalized that for an electrode to start to implant inside a molecule a logic gate or a full computation function. First of all, about molecular mechanics. Of course, if you have on the computer something like that, which is the tip, the molecule on the surface, you can also try to reproduce on the computer a manipulation experiment with the STM tip of a molecule. For that, of course, to manipulate, you have X and Y to push on the molecule and Z to regulate the current. And so you can reproduce that, of course, inside the computer, which is the junction, the molecule, the surface, and the tip. And so you use any type of technique you want, depending, again, on the computer power you have, to describe the mechanics of the interaction between the tip and the molecule on the surface. And so you inject X, Y, Z of the scanning to determine at each point of the tip how the molecule is. And you return X, Y, Z of each atoms of the molecule inside the tip, and you recompute the Turing current. And you feedback like that to describe completely how a molecule can be manipulated with an STM tip. And of course, if you do that, what you can extract, which is very important for experimentalists, is the tuning signal, which is containing inside all the detailed motion of any part of the molecule that you can have on the experimental data. In this case, what you can do, in a way, you are extracting information legs by legs or board by board or wheel by wheel, as you will see, of the motion of the molecule driven by the tip. And this is very important for existentialist people because, of course, you don't have any optical microscope to see how the molecule behaves under the tip. And so one example here was what we've done with Francesca in Berlin. This is a porphyrin-like molecule with legs, and you can manipulate by pushing at low temperature, by pushing on one leg, and the molecule will move along the surface, and you record an signal here, which is a signature of what's happened of all the legs moving when you push on the tip. And of course, the tuning current goes in many directions through the molecule, and so you can reproduce that. Here is the experimental signal, here is the calculated signal, minus this point here, which is not regular seen of each molecule, and this is the motion of the molecule. So you see here, we're going to zoom. This is oscillation due to the fact the molecule jumped from atom to atom on the surface, and this is also what we reproduce in the calculation. And we can zoom here on the oscillation part here of the calculation. Here it is. And you can really deconvolute step by step what's happened to the molecule with M1, M2, and M3 point, which are all the detailed motion of each of the legs under the tip when you push a molecule. And really, it's very nice because you can inform the people doing the experiment of what's happened leg per leg when you push on the molecule. And I don't have no time to do detail, but you can really decompose any of the tuning current contribution to the macroscopic current contribution leg by legs and discover, for example, which is trivial in terms of mechanics, but not so trivial in terms of proving that this is the case, that when you push on this leg here, those two are not completely deformed, but this one is rotating a bit, and you have a nice oscillation of this leg here when you push on this one. And this is observed experimentally. This was the first time that you can extract completely a real mechanical motion inside a molecule driven by the tip. And this gives us a few ideas. First one is I'd like with you to solve this problem. If you push on a tip with a molecule with four legs, you have two here, but in fact you have four, and you add up a wheel, what you get? A wheelbarrow. Okay, you heard that yesterday. This is a real bow. So the first question was, since we know now that you can extract an information from a mechanical behavior inside a molecule when you push on the tip, can we design a molecule with a wheel? And like that, we can extract information of rotation of the wheel instead of motion of the leg. This was exactly what we supposed. We push, and of course, a bit of the current measured macroscopically can give you an information of if the wheel are turning when you push on the back. And this is, in terms of theory, an important problem, an important question, also in terms of mechanics. When I push on the molecule, and increase the potential energy of the molecule. And if I increase the potential energy of the molecule, I have a lot of trouble to guess where the energy will go. It will go to the deformation of the board, it will go to the legs, or a bit of the energy will go to trigger the rotation of the wheel. So we designed the first molecule, and this was this one. The chemists were not so happy about this one. And so after a few negotiations, which take 1 year, they proposed this one, which is a two wheels one. One wheel here, one wheel here, two axles here, the board here, two legs here, and two parts here, which are at the rear part, in the fact that when you push, the tip will not pass over the molecule, but collide as the two rear parts. Okay, this was a real full integrated wheelbarrow with one function, two function, three function, four function, five function, plus two light in the front for the chemistry. And if you look carefully at the timing of that, the first design was 2002, the first synthesis of this one, 2003, and the first experimental observation of the image on the surface was 2005. So it's five. No. And so this is the first experimental image here. And this is the extraction of the conformation of the molecule. So right now, you have the two wheels here, which are there, the board here, and the legs, which are a little bit deformed, so depending on the conformation, you can sweep the legs wherever you want. And now the next step is really to push and to observe the rotation of the molecule. On this one, the problem we have is that the wheel is too much deformed by the surface, and it's very difficult to observe a rotation of the legs. So this feeds back to another design. This was the first part. So I have 30 minutes, right?
No, 5 minutes.
Ah, okay. So I give you only one example. For the other part, I can return tomorrow if you are here. Another game, which is funny, is imagine that you want to make a Morse manipulator. This is a molecule with four legs, and another stage of the molecule here with a phenyl here. And of course, the idea will be that you have to do that. Okay. And the thing is very interesting here. This is a 1-1-1 surface. On the 1-1-1 surface, you have surface states. So if you bring a molecule not K chemist sorb on the molecule, but just physicist sorb, you will have the possibility to modulate the surface wave. And if you modulate the surface wave, this wave will propagate a bit and can be detected, maybe if you arrive to design that, by atomic wire just a little bit far away. In fact, if the atomic wire, you can demonstrate, if the atomic wire is less than 100 nanometer away from the impact of the phenyl here, you will be still detect that. And the fact is, in fact, right now, we are synthesizing this molecule. This molecule, which is exactly, not exactly the same, but almost the same than this one, is under synthesis now. This is now 2 years of synthesis, but almost we have it. And we know also already, this was published last year, that when you bring this pi system, not in chemisorption, but just in between chemisorption and physisorption on the surface, you can create the wave here. The wavelength here is 1.5 nanometer. So at least we know the physical phenomenon. We can produce the wave. A little bit different than Donaigler here because it's not chemisorption. It's between physisorption and chemisorption. It's really polarization of the surface wave of the electron. And this, we know how to do it. And we are waiting for the synthesis of this molecule to completely complete to the tip this nice phenomenon here. But I think we can achieve that. And in a way, I'm ready for the grand prize because I can put a grip here. And if I can put a grip, I can pick up an atom instead of doing the waves. Okay. Okay. This was, and so we have no time to discuss about this and this. We start also exactly in the same way the experiment we've done. First, always we design, compute, negotiate with the chemist, redesign the molecule, and at each time what we try to do is really to keep atomic scale resolution for each of the objects we have and to integrate as much as we can the functionality inside a single molecule and not a big one, just the minimum number of atoms you need. So I can pass by any of what I want to propose to you. Since I have minus 2 minutes, I'll just show you one thing, which is this one here. Remember, this molecule is four legs here. The target here was to bring this molecule on the monatomic step on the copper 111 surface, 0.2 nanometer height here, and to bring this end part of the molecule to interact with the top one. Here, as a result, this is a 111 surface step edge, 0.2 nanometer up. These are the wave. Scattering waves scattered by the step here. This is a molecule here manipulate towards the step edge, and you create a little bit of a penetration of the quantum wave through the molecule, meaning that you attenuate the scattering part here of the wave. And again, the SQC calculation gives you, this is the experimental image, you extract from the experimental image the best calculated image, and you extract the conformation of the molecule, showing really that this molecule is interacting with the step here and creating a small contact bump here, which is the first time here we observe real electronic contact between a molecule and a surface. And in a way, Feynman will be very happy about that. We have a nice question here, is that if you see this quantum effect here, we are penetrating a quantum effect or a quantum wave of electrons through a molecule. So this opens the fact that you can maybe exchange quantum information and not classical information with a single molecule. Because if you measure the current macroscopically, of course, it would be classical current. But if you are close by here, you can maybe modulate the quantum wave information you input in and out. And this is why in fact, the Morse manipulator is not a joke, because the Morse manipulator is maybe a way to modulate quantum information inside the molecule and not classical information. And all of this, I can tell you, are real experiments. And here are the calculations which are supporting completely the full experiment we are doing now. And finally, because I'm still here. Apparently, there's nobody. Another problem, which is very interesting and go back in history, is this problem of integrating the full molecule circuit here. For example, if you read the Mead Corporation pink paper, you will see that this full intramolecular circuit may an alpha adder. So we address this problem theoretically, and we go back to Kirchhoff's law. This is the original paper of Kirchhoff, 1845. Nod's law, Mesh law. And the question, of course, is can we map this paper, or at least the law that everybody knows, and adapt that inside the molecule? The answer is yes and no. Yes, because you keep the current, so this law will be valid, but this law is no more valid. So you have to create a new law to integrate a full circuit inside the molecule. And for that, we have to generalize this one, and we create any SQC, which is n electrode toward the defect, and we can put any number of atoms you want, depending again on the computer. You can describe the quantum chemistry part of the molecule inside, even orbital by orbital of the contact. And I can describe you one law. For example, if you have a molecule here which has this shape, you can, of course, synthesize the molecule. Of course, yes, at least, a molecule which have a node inside. And the question is, if this one is J1, the conductance, this one is J2, the conductance, what is the conductance of this one? Okay. Meaning that it's no more the Kirchhoff law. So if you want to build a circuit like this one here, it's what we learn. If you want to build a circuit like this one, you need to adapt and to brush your mind of any of your classical law of electrical circuit to try to use a new one and to design the circuit. For example, here, one thing, and we'll finish by that. Look at this one. This is the Wheaton bridge. You have four electrodes. The molecule is easy to do. Of course, the interconnections are not yet ready, but this is coming. And the question you can ask is, if you turn this one by an angle theta x, this phenyl here, what is the angle you have to turn this one for the current here to be zero? A classical question in electronics, which here goes now to the quantum chemist, for the same problem, can you find the law of equilibration of this Wheaton bridge? And like that, you will, I think, penetrate more, I will call in nanoelectronics in the real world and not in the pseudo world with large electrodes. So this is a nice problem I leave you. You can find the solution in Nanotech February 2004. What is the angle theta to equilibrate the bridge here, or to balance the bridge, as you say? And finally, this I did because we get and like this. We could design a lot of bridges like that. And finally, just in conclusion, a lot of things. I like this one. Is that our approach is we don't care at all, sorry, Jim, for application. Our question is, what is the minimum number of atoms you need for a given machine? For example, for the Morse, I can tell you now that normally a Morse will support maybe 100 or something atoms. A wheelbarrow will support less than 200 atoms. And this is Wheaton Bridge. We have also a lot of quantum gates together. And our question is really start to the bottom and to try to minimize as much as you can the number of atoms to make a machine. And this guy likes very much to play like this. And this is my group in Toulouse and the support from the European Union Consortium here. Thank you very much for your attention.
Well, I think you can see why Christian won the theory award this year and why he's also won the experimental award in the past. So it's very nice.
Thank you.
So we have some time for some discussion. Please get a microphone first. If you want to ask a question, raise your hands. They'll run over to you. Who's number two? Second question.
Thank you. That was really incredible work. Have you looked at possibly using asymmetric isotope labeling on the wheel and using inelastic tunneling spectroscopy to determine when the rotation is happening?
This, I can. If I use my experimental side of the brain, if I use the experimental part of my brain, okay, I think this may be possible. The only thing we have to have now is a molecule where the wheel really are turning. Wheels are not turning here.
Say that again. The last.
The wheels are not turning right now.
The wheels are not turning.
Not turning on this one because you have to take into account that any design you do on the board, are not used right now to guess completely what will happen on the surface.
Okay.
And the interaction with the surface is terrible. And for example, for those wheels here, they are completely deformed, so they are completely attached to the surface and they're not turning. In fact, when you push on the molecule is turning like that. It's not the wheel turning. So for this one. But of course, if you are precise enough at low temperature, the inelastic current can be an approach to do that. But you have a problem on that, is that to record inelastic current, you need to be very close by to the object which is turning and deformed. Here, we push on the back. There is not power inside in the molecule to drive. Okay, you have to bring the tip from the back. So the turning current passing through the board, getting to the legs, you have maybe a lot of trouble to pick up the inelastic part. Or you need two tips.
or two tips.
Or really, the sensitivity to really get the inelastic part needs to be very attached to the wheel.
Right.
And here, the turning current goes back to the board and to the tip.
Okay.
It's why we prefer this solution to record.
Or if you have it rotate and then move the tip, if you're only using one, to move the tip back over to see if the asymmetric label on the wheel has rotated or not, and then push it again.
If you look at the design a little bit, you will see that we make a trick in the design. Uh-huh. Is that the board is like that, and depending on the wheel rotation, the board will do that.
All right.
It's why the wheel, you don't have any tire on it. And so at the beginning, we are thinking if you do that with the board, we can detect easily the motion of the wheel because the wheel will turn and the board will do that. This was the trick. And in fact, we have another molecule without wheels. When we push, the board is doing that, and you can detect it.
It's pretty cool work.
Thank you.
All right. Was there another question, comment? All right, let's thank Christian for an excellent talk. Thank you. Okay, the final talk of this morning.